This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That's why many of our Muslim youth, what life do they live? What do they always say? Let me enjoy my life. You know, when I get to your age, close to 50 or 60 or 70, when I get to the end of my life, when I've done every single haram thing in my life, when my bones are tired, my life is tired, I'm sick and tired of it, then I'll make tawbah ilallah. But you know, strange it is, that not just some, how many of them never make it to that tawbah? After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey in this blessed day of Yawmul Jum'ah, whereby we find that numerous surahs are recited on this blessed day. We stopped on the 18th surah, Suratul Kahf, of the surah that gives light for the individual from one Friday to the following Friday, and some riwayat and extra day and other narrations, extra 3 days are granted to that individual, making a total of 10 days for that individual, of light for that individual. So on this blessed day, we find other surahs as well, which are recited in the beginning of Surah Al-Fajr that we find, in Salatul Fajr that we find the reading of Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda, which is today's surah, coupled with Surah Al-Insan. These are the two surahs which are recited on this, the morning of Fajr that we find. Also we find Surah Al-Munafiqoon. Surah Al-Jum'ah is recited in actually the Friday, after the Friday sermon. Other narrations mention Surah Al-A'la wal-Ghashiyah. This all shows the importance of this blessed day and these blessed surahs. Because if we look at the common theme inside all these surahs, the main concept is a concept of resurrection, of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making a distinction between people of paradise and the people of the hellfire. So this surah, it mentions وَهَمْ مَصِيرُ النَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْيَوْمِ أَمَّا إِلَى الْجَنَّةُ أَوْ إِمَّا إِلَى النَّارِ, that the end result of people, if we look at these surahs in great detail, is either they're going to be people of paradise or people of the hellfire. And this is a theme that runs concurrently throughout the Qur'an, that reminding us whether we want to be people of paradise or we want to be people of the hellfire. أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, the people of paradise are going to be successful individuals. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ, whoever is rescued from the hellfire and plucked out of the hellfire or prevented from the hellfire and thrown into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازَ, that is the most successful individual inside Al-Akhirah. And here inside Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda, Allah mentions أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا, is the individual who's a believing individual like the person who's a fasiq, who's a rebellious individual, full of ma'asi, wa-dhunub, full of kufr, wa-shirk. So we have to understand this in concept of belief, that we need to make a distinction between believing individuals and disbelieving individuals. Because some of us, unfortunately, we cross over that line. We begin to make disbelievers close to us, and we begin to push believers away from us. And this is against the creed of Ahlul Sunnah, of belief of Ahlul Sunnah. Even we can just learn a basic concept inside our life. The worst Muslim on the face of this earth is better than the best kafir on the face of this earth. That's what belief is, simple. We don't need to enter into dogma and theology about people's belief and the academia. It should be simple for every single Muslim that the worst Muslim on the face of this earth is better than the best kafir. That's the message of the Quran. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا, the one who believes. Because at the end of the day, no matter what happens to a believer, what happens to a Muslim, the end result of a Muslim will be paradise. And the beginning and the end of a disbeliever will always be فَمَصِيرُهُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ, the end will be the hellfire. You don't make excuses for people who disbelieve, who are clear disbelievers. You don't make excuses for Ahlul Kitab. The excuses are made day in and day out for Muslims. And this concept has been twisted around, that we're always making excuses for disbelieving individuals. And we rarely make excuses for Muslim individuals who may even be living or who may even have even died. That's why ulama mentioned when a Muslim dies, then a person shouldn't speak ill of them, shouldn't speak evil of them, should praise and speak well of them. Unless there's some academic reasoning that a person speaks about certain mistakes, discrepancies, but even if a person is vigilant about their tongue and what they say about individual, because this individual now is ila rahmatillah, is under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not under our mercy, it's not under our discrepancy, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges individual. And likewise, at the beginning of Surah Al-Insan, إِنَّ أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ السَّلَاسِلَ وَأَغْلَالًا وَسَعِيرًا. So if you couple these two surahs, Al-Lam Mim Sajda, you find various linkage between these two surahs. Why these two surahs are recited in the beginning of Salatul Fajr. Even Salatul Fajr and Yawmul Jum'ah, you find numerous narrations that mention that is something praiseworthy to catch Fajr in Jama'ah on Yawmul Jum'ah. That a person comes under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the beginning of our day of Jum'ah. Jum'ah isn't coming to the Friday prayer. The beginning is Salatul Fajr. Or the beginning is even after Maghrib, Al-Istidad, Al-Aqli. That a person, rational inside their mind, is preparing themselves for Yawmul Jum'ah. And even before that, in this Western world, that we live in, a person should prepare themselves. That all of us, we know when our holidays, when our time is. But somehow we just slip in Yawmul Jum'ah. Somewhere has to be slipped in. We plan everything of our lives accordingly. Why don't we plan Yawmul Jum'ah? That Jum'ah is there, that we have ample opportunity to come there, to prepare ourselves, to come to this blessed day, the best day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed creation. As in hadith in Sahih Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ, in 6 days. And on the final day, the sixth day, that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Bani Adam, created Adam alayhi salam, placed him inside paradise, expelled him from paradise. And we mentioned previously that Yawmul Jum'ah is the day of Yawmul Hisab, the day of reckoning, the day of return for the believing individuals. And inside Surah Al-Insan, as we're going to come to a later stage, you find a whole page speaking about Ahlul Jannah. A whole page speaking about, these are surahs or places inside the Quran that we need to read inside our lives. Because it's not all doom and gloom. Read Surah Al-Rahman. The 55th chapter of the Quran was given to the believing individuals. Read the 56th chapter, Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Read Surah Al-Insan, this whole page or so. And what will the believers will be given to these individuals? This revitalizes the iman of the individual. And we said many times, many of us don't have a lifespan, or, not to sound derogatory, a mental capacity to read certain things inside our life because of work commitments, life, whatever it may be. Not everyone is to be boosted to be a talib al-ilm, or student of knowledge, or to become a scholarly individual. But there's certain things that all of us that we can read to strengthen our iman. Read Sahih Muslim, the beginning, Kitabul Iman. Just read that through your life. Then read towards the end, Kitabul Jannah wa Sifatu Na'imiha wa Ahliha. And read the book on paradise, and the descriptive nature of the people of paradise, and the blessings of the people of paradise. If you read that inside your life, you'll know what your iman is. You'll know what halawatul iman is. You know what the sweetness of iman is. You know what your belief is. And you know what the end is going to be for the believer. To strengthen the believer, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to the believing individuals. And we all need that inside our lives. Because that's what the Quran is, bayn al-targhib wa tarhib. It's between giving us this encouragement that do these actions. Fastabiqul khayrat. Race with one another in doing good actions. Wasari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Race with one another. Challenge with one another, compete with one another, run with one another, hasten with one another. Towards what? Towards paradise, which has been prepared for the believing individuals. Or this paradise whose width is like the heavens and the earth that we find. In another narration, which is questionable, but just to extract its meaning, we find this narration, Iqra'u Surah Hud Yawm al-Jum'ah. Read Surah Hud, the 11th chapter of the Quran on Yawm al-Jum'ah. And the reason why we mention this is because there's certain wordings inside there that plausibly go towards the reading of Alif Lam Mim Sajda and reading of Surah Al-Insan. Because here Allah mentions, يَوْمَ يَأْتِ لَا تَكَلَّمُ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. On that day, every individual will come. The soul will come on that day. No one will speak except for by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. Once again, this comparison between fasiq and mu'min. There's going to be shaqiyun, a wretched individual. وَسَعِيدٌ, a person in a state of felicity, in bliss, in happiness. Then the ayat, they continue to speak about the reward that will be given to those individuals. Who are the shaqiyun? What's these wretched individuals? What's the reward? Or what's the end result of these individuals? And likewise, the opposite. For the believing individuals, the reward given to them. Ata'an ghayra majdhuz. There's going to be ata'an, which ulama describe as a gift which has no ending. When you give a person a gift, it ends somewhere. You stop gifting them. But Allah says, ata'an ghayra majdhuz. This gift, it continues and continues and continues for the people of paradise, who are the people in a state of bliss and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah, Alif Lam Mim, As-Sajda, or just known as As-Sajda, or Alif Lam Mim, Tanzilun. And this distinction of calling it Alif Lam Mim, As-Sajda, because it's one of the only rare surahs inside the Quran whereby it begins with Alif Lam Mim and there's Sajda inside this surah. Another place, Hamim As-Sajda, Surah Fussilat. And some of ulama mentioned that the Sajda place inside this surah, as Ibn Hajar mentions, is to increase the blessings of Yawm al-Jum'ah. That when a person goes into sajda, it becomes an extra sajda az-za'ida, extra show of belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gratitude and thanks to perform it on Yawm al-Jum'ah. Then he makes a great long discussion that if not this surah, read any surah on Yawm al-Jum'ah which contains a sajda, to show that belief in submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Meccan surah, 30 ayat that we find, Imam al-Shawkani, Sahib al-Fatwa al-Qadir, he mentioned that some, the first three or five surahs, or first three or five ayat, this surah, are Medinan in nature. But the most strongest view that the whole of this surah is a Meccan surah. As many times we mentioned, a Meccan surah is all speaking about creed, about belief, about al-akhirah, al-ba'ath, wal-nushur, resurrection, being brought together, accountability. That's the foundation of iman that a person builds inside their life. That there's going to be Yawmul Jaza, Yawmul Hisab, Yawmul Deen, a day of accountability, a day of reckoning, a day of questioning, a day of accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the fada'il, the virtues of the surah that we find have been documented. Taji'a alif lam mim tanzil as-sajda Yawmul Qiyamah. We find that this surah will come on the day of judgment. And there's other authentic, strong narration mentioned that the Quran is an intercessor, will intercede for the believing individual, the person who recites the Quran, the person who memorizes the Quran, person lives by the Quran will come and intercede. That you find in Ramadan, the Quran will say that I kept this person awake because they were busy reciting the Quran, studying the Quran. These are things that we should believe in, a concept of intercession. And you study in great detail, it's reliance upon your own soul via the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the concept of intercession that we live in is we rely on other people, that someone else will read the Quran and transport that reward to me when I die, when I leave this dunya. Or someone else will read the Quran and it'll go towards my accountability inside al-akhirah. We don't want to enter into the rhetoric and the dogma and the theology about this discussion. But in a nutshell, it's false. This is not the belief of the majority of the ulama about reading of the Quran. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل في القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Quran has been sent down, هدى للناس, has been sent down for guidance for mankind. ليس للميتين. Quran isn't sent down as guidance for dead people. That's where their accountability has stopped for these individuals. Only those actions that their children may do on their behalf, or their praise of them, or certain actions they left behind will benefit them. As for these type of actions that a person believes, that if I read the Quran and I transport the belief towards my parents, my loved ones, it may sound very harsh, but the majority conclusion is unacceptable. We don't need to follow this pattern of belief inside our lives. So if you want the Quran to intercede for you inside the grave, inside al-akhirah, become sahib al-Quran. Become a companion of the Quran. If a person can't memorize the Quran, ala aqal shay, yaqra'uhu, person reads the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned a person, الَّذِي مَاهِرُ الْقُرْآنِ, person who's a mahir, who's a specialist inside the Quran. He'll be with the blessed angels. And the person who stutters on reading the Quran, what did the Prophet ﷺ say about this individual? Did he just leave him at that station? He said, فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. That person will have two rewards. This is encouragement that most of us, we know that we can't read the Quran appropriately, because in the way that we've been brought up, or the world that we live in. But look at the ajr, that a person who tries to read the Quran, that person will be given two rewards by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, if I, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ عَلَى الْخَوَاتِيمِ, the ending of every individual is upon al-khawatim, is their ending, is the final moments of their life, final spell of their life. That's what the ending is, what counts in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah will come on a day of judgment, and it'll have two wings, and it'll begin to enshroud and shade this individual. Taqul la sabil alayk, la sabil alayk. It will say to the angels of punishment, whatever, there's no path for you to enter upon this individual. When kana hadha al-hadith, even though this hadith is not authentic, we're just trying to highlight certain virtues that ulama have collected about this surah. There's no way that you can come towards this individual. Another wording that we find, iqra'u surah al-munajjiyah. Read this surah, which is the rescuing surah, the surah that will deliver the individual. Wa hiya alif lam mim tanzeel. And is this surah, surah as-sajda, the 32nd surah of the Quran. And then it mentions the individual has many sins. Kathir al-khataya. Many sins this individual has. But kana yani shadid al-harisan ala qira'ati hadhi surah. But was always reading this surah on a regular basis, which has been established. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would recite every single night before going to sleep. He would recite Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda and Suratul Mulk. He would recite both of these surahs, which is authenticated. As late as checked by late Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani rahmatullah alayhi, hadith inside Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi and Muslim Imam Ahmad, that every single night the Prophet alayhi salam would read these two surahs. Alif Lam Mim Tanzeel, the 32nd surah of the Quran, which has 30 ayat. And likewise, Surah Al-Mulk has 30 ayat. That's why you find certain athar that it would 60 sins or 60 gradings of sins of that individual or 60 excellings of that individual and wiping out sins of that individual will be granted to that individual. And the sir here, the hidden element could be, if we combine both of these two surahs together, 30 plus 30 makes 60 ayat, 60 verses of recitals. Another wording that we find, which is da'if, la yatrukuhuma la fi safari wala fi al-hadari. The Prophet ﷺ never left these two surahs, whether he was traveling or whether he was resident. He would, every single night, he would recite these two surahs. Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda and Hal Ata Al-Insani, or sorry, Suratul Mulk. He would recite them every single night before going to sleep. In other narrations, where there's no doubt about them, inside Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ, as we mentioned, at Yawmul Jum'ah, he would recite this surah, and together he write with it Surah Al-Insani, he recite this surah. So why would he read these two surahs? Why specifically these two surahs are read in Salatul Fajr or Yawm al-Jum'ah? As Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he highlights the hikmah, the wisdom behind this, because these two surahs speak about the creation of the human being. And they speak about the end of the human being as well inside this surah. And wa yasta'iddu lima yakoon. So, and also it prepares, helps the individual, yasta'iddu lima yakoon, for the person to begin to prepare what will begin to take place. So Allah talked about ma kan, what existed before the creation of us, rest of us human beings, before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and then what happened to Adam, and then what happened at the end of time, and then encouraging us, for us to prepare for that day in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we find Imam al-Sa'di inside his tafsir, he mentions, this is the completion of the creation of the human being on Yawmul Jum'ah. That's why the beginning of the human being is mentioned inside both of these surahs. As we mentioned, the completion of the human being took place on Yawmul Jum'ah in various narrations that we find. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then on the Yawmul Jum'ah, He took Adimul Ard. He took the earth, the various forms of the earth. Asfaraha, wa ahmaraha, wa aswadaha. He took the various types of soil on the face of this earth. And He put them together. And there, from there you find Tayyibuha wa khabithuha, the good and the bad of this soil, and put it all together. And that was the human being. So that's you find that from the human being, you find tayyibuha wa khabithuha. That's you find from human beings, those who are good in nature and those who are bad in nature, unfortunately. Because the soil is of various types. That's why when you begin to construct buildings, they dig down into the earth. Because they don't look at the surface of the earth. They look deep down into the extracts of the soil to see that if this is this soil strong, will it establish a building upon it? That's what we find throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always speaking about the establishment of the soil, of the ground, of that being strong ground, strong impact of that ground, whatever builds upon it. Allah mentions that Surah Ibrahim, that corrupt soil, that corrupt earth, that corrupt plant, مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارِ. It has no establishment. That when the heart becomes corrupt, when the heart deviates away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what we find that we, as all throughout our lives, this concentration upon the heart, the soul. The heart is the key element that diverts a person between al-khubth wa-tayyib. قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah mentions that those things which are pure and impure are not the same. Why can't some of us see impure things? Because there is a ghita, there's a shrouding, there's a veil, there's a seal upon our sight, not just on our sight. Allah says there's a sight or there's a sealing on the hearts. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Nay, indeed, there's a ran. And ulama tafasir, based on hadith inside the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi, the ran is a rust. Is a rust that comes on the heart of the individual. Every time a person sins, a black dot, a nukta comes on the heart of the individual. And he sins again, and another dot comes upon the heart. Continuously sins until the heart is sealed. And it becomes difficult for iman to penetrate into the heart of the individual. The heart becomes a heart which is harsh. Amongst the first examples inside the Quran, Allah speaks about the rock. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about the rock? About the harsh of these various types of rock. But then even then Allah concludes that from these rocks, there are rocks that do what? They fear Allah. Min khashyatillah. Allah speaks that even a rock, shay'un jamid, an inanimate object, Allah says that a rock fears Allah. And ulama begin to dissect this parable, saying that if a rock, a hard substance, can begin to become one that submits to Allah, then what is wrong with the heart of the human being? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah says inside Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th chapter of Quran, Al-Hadid meaning the iron, strong metal. You know, if you study the Quran in great detail, you find certain ayat are placed in certain locations where you cannot even imagine. A human being can't imagine why Allah places certain verse, certain kalimat in certain locations. So the person would think about this surah speaking about the benefits of Al-Hadid, which rightfully it mentions. But right inside that surah mentioned about the iron, the inside there. Has not time come for the believing individuals that their hearts become submissive and focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inside this surah, a quick look at this surah, various ayat inside this surah, just to help us, to give us a rough rendition. And to build upon our iman to go back and read these surahs that we should be reading on a daily basis. Alif Lam Mim, Tanzilul Kitab. Allah begins by speaking about Alif Lam Mim. We mentioned in general, the Quran, whenever it speaks about Alif Lam Mim, various ulama tafsir try to dissect, it means this, it means that. But the most strongest view, which has been documented by Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, his Muqaddama fi Usul al-Tafsir, he said these haruf al-muqatta'at have been presented to the Arabs, I'jaz al-Arab, given as a miracle to these Arab individuals, that take these haruf, take these 14 letters that come in various formats inside the Quran, alif, lam, mim, alif, lam, mim, ra, alif, lam, mim, sad, kaf, ha, ya, ain, sad, ha, mim, etc. Take these various letters, because you are people of fasaha, of balagha, of rhetoric, of speech, of poetry, to mesmerize people with your words. In the hadith, you find, inna min al bayani la sihra, from your speech is magic. They're able to indoctrinate people with the speech that these individuals that they had. So Allah is saying, take these, you're not ba'id, you're not far away from these haruf, these linguistics and this language and these letters. Use these letters to compile something like the Quran. فَمَسْتَطَاعُوا. And they're not able to do that. Likewise, Imam Zamakhshari, Sahib al-Kashaf, before Ibn Taymiyyah, he highlights exactly the same meaning. That these letters are a challenge to mankind, or bring something like the Quran. Then Allah mentions about the book, which is the general nature after all these haruf, that Allah establishes the strength of the book. Because whatever comes after it is going to be easy to believe. That once you have that conviction, these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There's no doubt about this. مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. From the Lord of the worlds. When a person has that beginning, as we mentioned Surah Al-Baqarah, what's the beginning? لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. No doubt. When your belief in the Quran strengthens your conviction, then you can begin to understand what the journey of the Quran is. Then we don't find these questionings that Muslims present. Is there really a day of judgment? Is there really paradise? Is there really hellfire? Is there really divine decree? Is there really this? Is there really a hereafter? Was there really a messenger? Will really the Bedouin Arabs rise once again? Will Islam really become conqueror? Will it conquer? Will it rule? Will it be in Armageddon? Will it be in Malhamatul Kubra? Is there a Dajjal? Is there Ya'juj? Is there Ma'juj? This continuous question comes from where? A lack of qillatul fahm al-Quran. It's a basic concept. It's a lack of reading the Quran, studying the Quran. Because Quran is tibyanan li kulli shay. The Quran is explanation of every single thing in terms of belief. So the less you read the Quran, the more these doubts come into your mind. The more this question comes into your mind. And many times we say, we don't need to go into great theology. You read through the Quran and the answers are placed there in black and white. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do inside our lives. Then Allah mentions, Allahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha wa ma baynahuma fi sittati ayyam thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Wa ma baynahuma. And whatever is between them. In 6 days, thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh kama yaliqu bi jalalihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. In seven places inside the Quran, Allah mentions thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh. And it shows the concept of alu, loftiness, highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min bab al-fitra wal-aql wal-nusus. From texts of the person's belief in the natural fitra. That a person, when they call, when they implore upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they raise their sight. They raise, not even their sight, they raise their body. They raise their qulub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilayhi yarfa'u amalu salih. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes the good words. Yarfa'u, it's lifted to Allah. It travels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the belief. وَحَتَّى الْأَوْلَادِ. Even children, what's their belief? When you ask them, أَيْنَ Allah, where is Allah? What's their belief? They look up to the heavens. It's the natural fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the seven heavens. Upon his arsh, كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ. That befits his majesty. That's the belief, the creed of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And Allah mentions it seven places inside the Quran. So a person shouldn't question about what the Quran says about belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, the more a person knows about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though a person will never know Allah. وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Person only knows certain references that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights inside the Quran to bring the individual close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who knows the seen and the unseen. Then Allah mentions Al-Azizur Rahim. Allah is Al-Aziz and merciful. You know, even the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside the Quran. Why does Allah sometimes say Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, Al-Ghafur Rahim, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim? Even that is a unique science. There's a reason behind it, why it alternates. Because li kulli makan, or li kulli maqam, or li kulli ayah. For every station, every place, every ayah, there's a reason behind it. That we can't seem to understand. Inside this surah, it becomes evident that Allah is Al-Aziz and likewise He's Al-Rahim. Allah shows His power, Al-Qahr, dominance. And at the same time, He shows His mercy inside this surah. That what He will do to those individuals who disbelieve and what He will give to those individuals out of His mercy towards the believing individuals. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. The one who perfected everything in creation. وَبَدَى خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ. And made the human being from clay. Then Allah mentioned that He made the human being min ma'in maheen. And some people try to say it's despicable water. But other ulama say min ma'in da'if. They look at the water of the human being, how this individual becomes this so-called powerful individual. And inside Surah Al-Insan, as you mentioned, read these two surahs. Allah said inside the beginning that Allah created the human being from the nutfah, that which is mixed with the man and the woman. And then from there you find the exiting of the human being that we find. Then we gave him sight. We gave him the ability to speak or to hear. And sight is given to this individual. For what purpose? For a person to be imma shakiran aw kafura. That Allah gives us these faculties to see whether we're going to be grateful individuals or ungrateful individuals towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah mentions وَجَعْلَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Why does Allah create the human being? Why is He giving us faculties of seeing and hearing and perception and feeling and uqul? For what purpose? قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Literally is that you give thanks to Allah. These faculties that Allah has given us to us have been given, placed there for us to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's you find that every single faculty كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ. The faculties of hearing, seeing, intellect. All of this is going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Inside Surah Al-Mulk, that as we mentioned, recite every single night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the same thing. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ. But here, with the difference of He's the one that who created you, who brought you into existence, and gave you sight and hearing and seeing that you may become grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Individuals, what do they say? وَقَالُوا أَإِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. The rejection of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا ضَلَلْنَا. That if we become dust, We become scattered, we become lost, meaning that the body of the human being it decomposes and becomes part of the earth. Are we going to be resurrected once again? Once again, this cliche that the world that we live in, that enjoy life to the best of your ability. There's no hereafter. There's no reckoning. There's no resurrection. That's why many of our Muslim youth, what life do they live? What do they always say? Let me enjoy my life. You know, when I get to your age, close to 50 or 60 or 70, when I get to the end of my life, when I've done every single haram thing in my life, when my bones are tired, my life is tired, I'm sick and tired of it, then I'll make tawbah ila Allah. But you know, strange it is, that not just some, how many of them never make it to that tawbah? How many of them never make it to that tawbah? Because sunnat Allah ila al-ard, that's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those people who really want to move towards him inside that direction. He knows them subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he grants them the tawfiq. He grants them the ability to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah gives this clear warning towards these people, agnostics, atheists, and to us as well. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُقِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Say that the angel of death, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ, this angel of death that stands over all of us. In some athar that we find, the angel of death comes to everybody's home 5 to 6 to 7 times, stands outside the home. Stands there. It's not granted permission until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given permission for the angel of death to enter and to take. لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Every soul has a appointed time that will be snatched and taken away. You can't escape it. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجِ مُشَيِّدًا. Wherever you are, death will come to you. Wherever you happen to be in a fortified palace, strengthen yourself in a palace. Build whatever you want to protect yourself from death. When death comes, it will come there. In another place, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. It will meet you wherever you happen to be. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is deep. Rhetoric language of the Quran is very deep. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. That death you try to run away from, all of us, we try to run away from death. That's what the Quran says, that death you're trying to flee away from. فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. It will meet you in your faces. It will meet you eventually when the appointed time comes for you to be lifted and returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُ رُؤُوسِهِمْ. If you only to see these mujrimeen, these criminals on the day of judgment, نَاكِسُ رُؤُوسِهِمْ, that you find that their heads are lowered in a state of humility, debased, feeling upset about their life, upset what took place. And they'll say, oh, our Lord, give us time. Let us come back to this earth. فَرْجِئْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. How many times do we find that inside the Quran? They say, oh Allah, let us come back to this earth. نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. So we can do some good actions. إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. We're going to be full of yaqeen and belief. Inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, the people there will say, let us come back to this earth. So we can come back and do righteous actions. Same thing. But Allah says, لَا كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. These are empty, vain words. These are vain words. You had your ample opportunity. وَمِنْ وَرَائِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. There's going to be a barzakh, a barrier, a shield. Remember, once you cross this dunya, you split the barzakh, and you enter across the other side of the barzakh, no one comes back to live the story or tell the story. There's no returning. When you leave this dunya, you go past the barzakh, you've gone into the interspace. The barzakh is the interspace between ma bayn ad-dunya wal akhirah wa ma bayn ad-dunya wal jannati wal nar. The barzakh is the interspace between this world and paradise, this world and jahannam, as-sa'ir, as-saqar. That's what it is, the interspace. Don't think that jannah wal nar is ba'id. Your qiyamah, your day of judgment begins when you enter the grave. Don't think it's far away. When you die, you've entered into paradise or you've entered into the hellfire. That's just the beginning. Because the blessings inside the grave are just a shadow image of paradise that will come for the individual. And the punishment inside the grave is just a shadow image of the punishment that will come continuously for the individual inside the akhirah. Inside Surah Al-Mulk, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Look at excuses. If we had intellect, we could hear. Look at the amount of intellectual people who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amount of intellectual people who bow down to shrines and statues, who worship their own selves, who worship female private parts, who worship stones, rocks, and they claim to be intellectual, spiritual, uplifted individuals. That's what we find the world is surrounded by. Why should we feel upset about a belief, such a simple belief? Bowing down, submitting, no images, no depiction, a simple belief, bang down on the sand, wherever you happen to be, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, even that, it creates iman in people who see, visualize that. When they see the submission of a Muslim to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it creates iman inside their life. And the problem is our problem, because we don't allow them to see what Islam is. We deliver to them a cultural depiction of Islam. If we show them the real monotheistic belief in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so then this excuse will be taken away, that their intellect would lead them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're shrouding them at times from coming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place in the Quran, as Ibn Kathir mentions, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. When they say, let us come back to this earth, Allah says that if we brought them back to this earth and we let them stay upon this earth, they will return back that which you have prohibited from doing. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And they're liars. They're lying individuals. Then strangers, Allah says straight after that, وَقَالُوا إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. Strange is that Allah says straight after this verse that they say, what is this? Just this life and enjoyment. We're never going to be resurrected in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the believing individuals and the reward given to these individuals. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَادِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. These individuals, those who forsake their beds, give up their sleep, and they call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the depths of the night, and they spend on the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Here you find a coupling of spirituality, of belief, and physical display of their obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here you find various ulama begin to describe, what is this forsaking their beds at night? Some say it's qiyamul layl, salatul layl that we find. Others say that it's coming to, for fajr prayer, for isha prayer, waiting for these night prayers, that they forsake their beds, forsake their sleep, forsake their rest. But the most conclusive view is that they, at night time, that they forsake their beds, and that extra obedience in coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Imam Sa'di inside his tafsir, he mentions. That's why the reward of these individuals is hidden, because their actions are hidden from mankind. So the reward is something we can't imagine. So the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to these individuals is what no eye, no ear has heard, and what no individual can comprehend and understand. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Reward of what they used to carry out upon the face of this earth. And there's numerous narrations mentioned about this is the way of the salihin, the righteous individuals, where we find in the narrations mentioned, the individual asked the Prophet alayhi salatu salam about asking about paradise, how can I be inside paradise? He said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. If not mistaken, hadith Mu'adh bin Jabal. You asked about something so grave, so magnificent. وَإِنَّهُ يَسِيرٌ لِمَنْ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And it's going to be easy for whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for that individual. And inside that long hadith, it mentions various actions, till eventually it mentions those who carry out this action of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the realms of the darkness. And then it mentions the reward, paradise, as we mentioned, for these individuals. Read these ayat. Read Surah Al-Insan. وَيُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِآنِيَةٍ مِنْ فِدَّةٍ. You read the whole page, that you find there'll be around them young boys coming around them, who come with them and give them drinks in goblets of silver were given to these individuals. And likewise, وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ. You find these young boys becoming, approaching them, presenting these gifts towards these individuals. We need to read about this to strengthen our iman and belief in what Allah subhanahu has given the believing individuals. In a hadith, قُلْتُ لَيْهِ فَانْ أَعْدَدْتُ لِيَبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا أَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِيَتْ وَلَا خَطْرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. I prepared my believing servants what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and the concept understanding is under no individual's human being's capability. What Allah has prepared for the believing individuals. We find it, read the hadith of Musa alayhi salam in Sahih Muslim, whereby he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is adna rajul fil jannah? Who's the most least person inside paradise? Sifli, ya Rab, give me the descriptive nature of the least person inside paradise. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know the person, the king on this earth, a malik min maluk al-dunya, what the king may possess and own on the face of this earth, walaka mithluhu. You're going to have like that. It didn't stop there. وَمِثْلُهُ 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 Until the fifth time, person says, رَضِيتُ يَا رَبْ Person says, I'm satisfied. If you give me what the king of this earth, what they own, and five times over what they possess, I will suffice with that. But Allah increases it to what? To 10 times over. هَذَا أَدْنَى الرَّجُلْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ This is the least person in Jannah. ثُمَّ سُئِلَ أَلَى أَعْلَى الرَّجُلْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ Then he asked, who's the most highest person in Jannah? What will be given to that individual? And Allah mentioned, I'm going to give to that individual, yani I've planted the trees with my own hands. I've concealed for this individual what no eye can comprehend and understand. This is the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give to the person, the highest ranking individual inside, yani al-akhirah. All of this is a form of encouraging us individuals to search for this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in conclusion, the surah once again speaks about the ending. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْفَتْحُ When will his victory come? Or when will his punishment come? Just at the beginning. This concept of resurrection, or questioning the Prophet, questioning Islam, the end of the surah as well, that they question, when will it come? And Allah warns these individuals that on that day when the opening it comes, it will not benefit those individuals who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَهُمْ يُنْظَرُونَ فَأَعْرِدْ عَنْهُمْ وَانْتَظِرْ إِنَّهُمْ مُنْتَظِرُونَ Turn away from these individuals who don't believe towards Al-Akhirah and let them wait. And we will wait and we'll see what the end result will be. And as we said that to these agnostics and atheists and people who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wait and see what the end result will be. That wait, when you die, then you'll meet your Lord. Then you can question that, where is Allah? Because when you die, then you can pose that question that, where is Allah? قُلْ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْرَمِيمُ Who's going to give life to Ar-Rameem, to the death, dust and bones? And towards the end of Surah Yasin, who's going to give it life? Allah will then show this individual what the end of their life will be. And the end of Surah Al-Insan, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ وَالظَّالِمِينَ عَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا And those are people who are oppressive individuals. Those individuals, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا Allah is all-knowing and wise. As we began with, judgment lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what to give to each individual. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions, يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ The end of Surah Al-Insan, as a form of Bab al-Targhib, that Allah enters whomever He wants into His mercy. And then the warning, وَالظَّالِمِينَ عَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا And those who are the oppressors, the oppressive individuals, then Allah has prepared a severe punishment for those individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead us towards that which is an eternal blessing inside this dunya, eternal blessing inside al-akhirah, eternal blessing inside the grave, and inside al-akhirah, biduni hisab, without any accountability or reckoning.